Welcome. This is Christopher Holmes, and this is the Zero Point Radio Show through BBS Radio. It is currently Saturday, January the 5th of 2013. I'd like to encourage people, you can visit my website at www.zeropoint.ca. Oh dear, another year, 2013, as if 2012 wasn't bad enough. And now I think a lot of people are expecting even more adverse qualities or destruction of the American people is really what we're talking about. And so today we're going to attempt to do some review of last year, 2012, and then maybe to share some predictions about what's going to happen in 2013. And I hope we'll spend some time today talking about the Sandy Hill shooting massacre. And I think the three of us here all have some information about that. Okay, so first what I'm going to do is bring in Dee Nicholson. Dee, how are you?
Oh, surviving. We were all supposed to be dead a couple of weeks ago, but gee, we're still here, son of a gun, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, their ploys are so terrible. I just can't believe what we're facing as human beings on this planet,
well,
trying to face this thing.
Well, as I was saying to someone earlier today, I said, you know, the thing that really boggles my mind is how totally dumbed down the population seems to be. And those who are not completely dumbed down but know a little bit are just turning their back on it, like if they ignore it, it's going to go away. You know, it's mind-boggling. And I'm out on the street in shopping malls in, you know, wherever you happen to go during the day. The average, you know, day isn't confined to your house. And I'm out there, and I'm looking at people walking around. And they don't seem to know where they're going. And they bump into people, and they're inconsiderate. You know, there's all kinds of people just literally walking into walls. They're that dumbed down. And they're not seeing what's going on with their own children, their own families, their own lives, their own health, their own politics, their own economy. And they're just basically going, oh, well, you can't fight City Hall.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm
feeling that way myself a bit, like turning my back on it. It's like it's so overwhelming.
When you learn
about all these deviant acts of theirs through the air and the water and the food and the inoculations and everything, it's just terrible.
And you know, and we're looking at, you know, news items from the last week or so have been absolutely horrendous. You see a case where a woman gives birth to a child in a hospital and says she doesn't want the baby to be inoculated with the hepatitis B vaccine right at birth, which is what they're doing now. They're pumping all kinds of toxins into newborns, and these newborns do not have fully fledged immune systems. And then before they're a year old, they got like 19 more shots. And, you know, this woman, all she said was, I don't want the baby to have that shot now.
Yeah.
Not never.
Wow.
She said, not
now.
So what do they do? They call, the hospital called the police. The police come. They throw the mother out of the hospital. They escorted her to the front door, let her back in every 6 hours to breastfeed. Okay, kept her out of the hospital and gave the baby the vaccine against her instruction.
Wow.
So now she's suing. And a court, thankfully, has decided, these acts were egregious enough that she should go forward. This family is going to be made a millionaire because of these people being so politically correct that they actually took it upon themselves to take a child from its parents, because the parent had the nerve to disagree.
Yeah.
And what they are doing, you look at the DSM-5, the diagnostic manual for psychiatrists, we're looking at information saying they're basically calling every human emotion some kind of a mental disorder.
And I've seen that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we all know that if they can declare us mentally ill, they can take us literally out of society and park us anywhere they want.
And really, the mentally ill people are the ones who are controlling the whole thing. I mean,
yeah.
These people are severely psychiatrically disturbed. They seriously are.
You want to know it.
They're poisoning us. And
yeah, and, you know, you sitting there with your PhD in what?
Yeah. Yeah, clinical psychology.
Clinical psychology. He's got a PhD in people. But, oh, no, Christopher doesn't know anything, you see. It's like, okay, does a PhD mean something or doesn't it mean something? And what do you do with those PhDs who disagree with you? You see?
PhD, understood hydrogenium, the amount of water on the brain.
That's our guest piping up. You want to go ahead and introduce our guest, Christopher?
Yeah, that's Werner Bock. And Werner's joining us from New Brunswick.
Yeah,
in eastern Canada, and I've heard Werner on other shows and thought he'd be a really good supplement to this show, and so we brought him in again.
Weeks ago, Werner, you know, has such an incredible field of knowledge that, you know, anything we have to say on this show, Werner's got 5,000 select words to say on.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. That's only 5 cents worth.
There you go, you see? Anyways, Werner, he has become very well known across Canada because he has been victimized in many different ways, including energy weapons on his livestock. Werner has all kinds of proof of these activities, and because, of course, he has... And he's on this show because he has a big mouth.
Yeah, we're very fortunate.
Yes, we are. Yes,
thanks,
we are.
Werner.
Yeah, thanks for your big mouth, Werner. We all have big mouths,
but,
and we're happy to have them.
It's not about the big mouth. I rather would have stayed here on the farm and do my work as a farmer.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
but,
tell me about it.
When I grew up over in the old country, our old elders, they always said to us, when you see something bad happening, speak out, that we don't get into the same mess again.
Exactly. Well, isn't that going along with the old statement that says, those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it? And, of course, people look at other people's history. They don't look at their own ding-blasted history. They look at everybody else's history and say, oh, well, I won't do that. Well, the problem is, these are things that they would never have the chance to do. People need to look at their own history and learn from that. That, you know, while they were working under bad values and bad beliefs, they did stupid stuff to themselves and to other people. And when we stop harming ourselves...
This might be a kind of early to bring this up.
I mean,
the impression when I came here over to North America... that most of the people were so ignorant about what led to, for example, the last two wars.
Yep.
And the only people I came across that had some understanding were the ones, for example, that had been living for any amount of time over there in Europe or in Germany, and basically people that got around, that left the North American island, you know? And,
yep.
Well, I want to cut it short. A few days ago, I came on the internet across a series of historical YouTubes. It's so far it's 17 parts. Each one runs about for 15 minutes. But don't get scared off when I say the title and where to Google it up. Adolf Hitler. Just a moment. The greatest story they never told. This is basically a, from all sides, original documentation of the history of the last 100 years.
And, oh, dear.
As I say, when I grew up over there in Germany, I was listening a lot to the older people that went through the First World War, the Second World War, and what were the conditions over there in Europe. And there were a lot of their relatives of mine and neighbors and friends of the family. And as children, we would listen to, and as people, we would listen to. So we got a lot broader spectrum of information than what the people here in North America, what they got. And most of the what the people here in North America, what you were being presented was the history after the political and the media whore had put their own spin on it.
Exactly.
In order to whip you up, you know, to become the cheerleaders for the First and the Second World War. And we got the same situation still going on where the governments on both sides of the border, where they are cheerleading for, you know, oh, let's go after those Muslim terrorists.
Yeah, exactly
yeah.
The same.
And, you know, a really good example of that would be the documents that proved that the entrance of Japan into World War II was arranged and organized through the very governments that were supposed to be arguing about other things. These guys manipulated together to get everybody fighting. And all these documents have proven that Japan actually asked the United States how they wanted to proceed. And the U.S. Secretary of State wired back, the president would prefer if Japan struck first. They moved all of the expensive hardware that they had parked at Pearl Harbor and let the attack proceed against damaged and disabled vehicles, like ships, that were in port there for repair and refitting. But they moved all their expensive stuff out of Pearl Harbor. Then they let nearly 4,000 people die.
And then what we see is, like, all of modern history is of this nature. It's false flag terrorism, where our governments are perpetrating terror against us, like from the Oklahoma City bombings to Waco, Texas, to the Sandy Hill shooting. All these things are state-sponsored terrorism. That's what's so terrible about the whole thing.
You know, when 9/11 happened there, a few days later, I phoned up at a local radio show, and I said, it is always very convenient for the big power brokers in the world to have always some terrorist groups around they can manipulate for their own agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And whenever the North American economy was in a toilet, what bailed it out? Another war.
Exactly. Wars are only machines to make money. That's
and
all
who is
they
making
are.
The That's... money? You know, follow the money. Who is profiting from it?
Yeah, well, it ain't us.
Yep.
No, it certainly isn't.
And
many of those American army men who commit suicide every day.
Yeah, and what was the war really about? Remember that famous story where in the middle of the war, it was Christmas time, and there was a demilitarized zone between the German front and the American and Allied forces. And because it was Christmas, all the fighting was suspended, and they wound up, the Germans and the Allied forces wound up playing soccer together, drinking together, partying together.
Wow.
And then in the morning when Christmas was over, they started firing at each other again.
Wow.
And I'm going, if that isn't the definition of insanity, I don't know what is. How can you sit there, exchange family photos, and shoot the breeze with your sworn enemy on one evening and discover that you had so much in common, and then the next morning point a Mauser pistol or a rifle at the other side and start shooting? How do you do this as a human being and come out of that in one piece? I think you can.
I think it's propaganda, because that's what everybody's told. Everybody's told that they're fighting this dire enemy who's about to pounce on them and murder them.
Uh-huh.
And they all become convinced that's the enemy. It's
Well, now these days,
warmongers, they're at the home front. They never heard a shot being fired.
Exactly. And on top of that, you know,
it's not just only men that fight war. The one that there, when I look at a lot of those white-haired ladies, you know, or purple-haired ladies, those church ladies, you know, they were whipping up the boys, you know, oh, be patriotic, go to war against those terrible people. And you mentioned about where there was basically a ceasefire around Christmas. My dad, he was a veteran from the First World War. And he said, I don't know, I think there were French troops on the other side. Yet for about 3 or 4 weeks, they didn't fire a shot. They had an understanding. We are the same poor bastards as you are. Why shall we kill each other?
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And he said they were going back and forth, exchanging what little things they had, tobacco or whatever, you know. And he said, and then one night, he was only 18 years old, you know, it was a dark night, a foggy night, and he heard where the barbed wire was, he heard some noise, so he fired a salvo there, you know. He woke up all his comrades, you know. And his officer, he threatened him with court-martial, because of disobeying an order, you know. And he said when daylight came, they saw what had happened. The generals, they had overnight exchanged the troops on the other side and had had replaced them with North Africa or with fellows from Africa. And in the morning, they saw what happened there. There were some of those, they were laying underneath the barbed wire and they had the knife in their mouth, you know. And in some of the neighboring trenches, they got through and they cut the soldiers that were asleep in the trenches, they cut their throat.
Lovely.
Well.
You know. And as I say, this is... aren't those countries calling themselves the civilized countries?
Yeah.
I thought we all did.
Yeah, well, you know what? They changed the definition of the word civilized.
Mm-hmm.
They totally changed it.
When I look at the history, the way European nations came onto the North American continent and the carnage they created among the native people.
Oh, they've done that everywhere.
Weren't they supposed to bring them civilization?
Yeah.
Oh, they were being called savages, for example, in Central America when they gave human sacrifices, you know, once a year to some of their dignities.
Uh-huh.
Of their deities, you know. But how much more savagery was being committed and is still being committed by the so-called civilized nations? Oh, we have to bring them democracy, you know. We have to bring them civilization.
Yeah, right. That's
you know,
so
people
civilized.
Have to look at the facts and the figures. How can people be so blind, so brain dead, you know, and repeat all that that baloney that's been told to us and that's been ingrained into the children in school, in the educational system and so. And for that reason, I would admonish, you know, whoever is listening to Google up this documentary. Don't be peeved off by the name Adolf Hitler. You know, the title is The Greatest Story Never Told. 17 parts so far, but it's still a work in progress. A documentary. It's a
we'll certainly need 15 minutes.
And the best place to access it, to Google Deep Hidden Truth or Truth Will Out. And automatically it passes you on from one segment to the next one.
Yeah, we have on, there's an online TV streaming site that I use a lot. It's called the Giddy Up Network, and the web page for it is www.tgun.tv. And when you go in there, The Greatest Story Never Told is actually one of the documentaries that they show for free.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's
and as I say, when I watched it there a few nights ago, I was up until about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I could not find much wrong with it. It was, in my experiences, the most comprehensive and most unbiased reporting about the events with original historical archives, because before any kind of a media whore was able to put their own spin on.
Yeah.
Okay, so, well, we need to come back to today and Dee, you had mentioned just before us coming on the air that you had a quote.
This is a gem.
And why don't you read that, and we'll kind of
really
begin from that.
It's really appropriate in view of what we've just been talking about, mm-hmm. how, you know, as Werner said, our society, our so-called civilized society, seems to be brain dead. And, you know, I was commenting on that earlier as well. But this came in this afternoon from a friend of mine who's out in the West Coast. And she runs a little group called Citizens Demand Scientific and Political Integrity. We call it CDSAPI, C-D-S-A-P-I. And this woman she's an elderly lady. She's been through much in this life. And she has, very often she sends out little news items with really, really pointed and correct comments. And this is one of her comments. Please pay particular attention to it because it really is important. She says, in the past 10 years, our governments have all forced us to follow the bankers' Pied Pipers into the dungeon den. All, that is, except Iceland. Take a look at what happens when common sense, integrity, justice, and courage prevails. Do we have the insight, the integrity, the courage, and the backbone to do what Iceland did? Until the criminals are taken out of circulation, they will continue their litany of crimes, ever bigger ones, ever more brazen ones. The Icelanders started by ousting their bought and paid for complicit prime minister. We re-elect ours back into office. Then they jailed their criminal, rig-the-system banker casino players. We keep these complicit traitors in the seats of governance, and through them, we reward the bankers by permitting them to shovel all the taxpayer revenues into their coffers, the black hole from whence nothing ever comes back. We have to ask, where have we parked our brains? Whatever is left after being exposed to the officially mandated vaccines, fluoride, chemtrails, genetically modified organisms, irradiated food, not-so-smart meters, electromagnetic frequencies, psychiatric drugs, aspartame, fake pseudo-foods, etc., 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 or are there too many within the population who are itching to also get onto the gravy train? And still we listen and ingest, not digest, the mainstream propaganda brainwashing nonsense that every grade 2 child could correctly identify as a fraudulent piece of gobbledygook. When one is dealing with criminals and is faced with dealing with their criminality, it is time for the people's justice system to put them into straitjackets, to put them into the solitary confinement where they can rot forever and let justice prevail. Yes, life can go on without these too-big-to-deal thieving professional civilization destroyers. Yet Iceland, yes, little Iceland, be the example, the light that can lead us out of the dungeon dens into which these criminal elites, filthy rich through centuries of theft, insist on herding the citizens like cattle to the economic slaughter. Take 6 minutes to understand the Iceland strategy, and she gives a video commentary from Ron Paul. And he's talking about Iceland dismantling a corrupt government and then arresting all the Rothschild bankers. Then there's an article that she sent along with it. And in this article, which was written by Jeff Nielsen on thestreet.com, the title is Iceland Was Right, We Were Wrong. The IMF. And now the IMF is now making all kinds of suggestions, and people are being told, oh, well, the IMF wants to get rid of all this corrupt banking and forgive debt. And I go, wait a minute, the IMF is owned by who? The Rothschild brothers.
Yeah.
N.M. Rothschild and Sons owns about 60% of the IMF, and the rest is owned by 40 of the world's richest people.
Wow.
And into their hands, we are expected, oh, they're going to give us the dangled carrot. We're going to forgive your debt. And everybody goes, yahoo, you're going to forgive my debt? I'm on your side. Talk about being bribed.
What an amazing statement that was, Dee, from your
Wasn't
friend.
It?
That was an amazing statement.
Yeah, and this is why I pegged it earlier this afternoon as something I just had to share, because it is so right on, and it is so true. She's talking about us being brain dead. I'm looking around at people walking on the street. They are brain dead. They don't know whether they're coming or going. They don't know how to have good relationships. Their family relationships are destroyed. Their morals are destroyed. And today also, get a load of this. Now, all of us are older. You and me and Werner, we're all older people, right? And we were all raised with more of what you would call traditional values in just about everything. Are we agreed on that?
Yep.
Okay, because in this particular article that was sent around, and it's about sexual abuse, interesting that they say that families which have literally a military-type control over their family and insist on traditional values are the ones where the children grow up to be adults who commit sexual abuse crimes, etc., etc. I'm going, wait a minute. You're basically saying that if we loosen our morals, then there's fewer crimes committed. Well, yeah, there's fewer crimes to commit because our morals are looser. You know, crimes that used to be crimes aren't crimes anymore because our morals are looser. So the answer is stop making these things crimes and you won't have criminals.
Yeah, and that's what they're trying to do with more.
Is that backwards or what?
And that's what they're doing with more and more sexual crimes, like bestiality and pedophilia and
these kinds of things. Oh, yes, and that's where, you know, the Pope comes out in 2010 at the Christmas dinner at the Vatican and says that pedophilia is going to be declared normal.
Yeah.
What? This is the Pope?
Yeah. Yeah.
No wonder they call him Joe Rat.
Yeah, really.
You know, the name Ratzinger?
Yeah.
It's not a good name, it's a translated rat.
Yeah.
Joe Rat.
Yeah.
Joe Rat. You live there where the rats are.
Oh, dear. Well, he was a member of Hitler's SS Youth.
Yeah.
He was a member of Hitler Youth, and, you know, people forget that. And they also, I mean, I don't know how anybody can look at him and not feel the creeps, because the man's top half of his face doesn't match the bottom. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, he's very weird looking.
Yeah,
he
sort
really
of like
is.
The bottom half of his face is smiling, but the eyes aren't.
Yeah.
And what does it say in the Bible? It says the eyes are the windows to the soul. So I'm not going to look at his mouth. I'm going to look at his eyes. And what I see in his eyes is pure blackness.
Yeah.
That's what I see is blackness.
But you know nowadays, the ones from the dark side, you can't look anymore into their souls.
Oh, I know. Their eyes are like black glass. They're like obsidian. You can't see through them. They're stained so badly you can't see the truth anymore.
Wow.
And it's really bad. It's getting really, really bad. And those of us who are awake enough even to be listening to a show like this, everybody's got to be seeing that. You've all got to be seeing that. And it's getting harder and harder. I'm sure you will all agree that it's getting harder and harder to maintain ourselves against this onslaught. It's like you were saying earlier, Christopher, it's so overwhelming. The whole thing is overwhelming. And it's like you almost need to take a vacation from it every 5 minutes, otherwise it's going to swamp you.
Yeah,
so it's really...
You know, there's the old saying, you will hear the truth from the mouth of babes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No motive to lie.
So many of us, we have been gone through so much mental conditioning and brainwashing. We have to throw that all overboard and look right at the basic things.
Yep.
Before anybody has been able to put a spin on. You mentioned earlier there about the Rothschilds and the bankers and the shenanigans, the scheme they're running. When somebody prints money in his basement and puts it into circulation, and he succeeds. He doesn't come up, come back year after year and collects interest on it.
That's right.
On his fake money.
Oh, it's just unbelievable. What is all this clicking going on?
Oh, that may have been my
but
fault.
But as I say, when you are a banker, those big banking consortium, they put out fake money, they write it in the books, lend it out, and collect interest year after year, interest and compound interest.
Yeah. Well, the funny part is that the interest they collect is also fake money.
Yeah, but...
so they just multiply their own wealth, but what they do is they take all the gold that actually backs all that money.
With their ill-gotten gain, they buy up all the assets, the valuable assets on this planet.
Yep, for nothing, because the money's fake.
Yeah.
They just take it. They just take it, and we sit there and go, oh, okay.
Well, it's just the corporate media. The television is just such a powerful influence on people.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
And people watch all CNN and Fox and all these people, and they think they're being told the truth.
Uh-huh.
And
you know what
terrible.
really gets me right now, Christopher, is because I watch TV online, I told cable companies to eat dirt because they're nothing but a ripoff.
Yeah.
But essentially, I'm watching online, so I've got a lot of American channels. I mean, I can get channels from anywhere in the world, but the thing is, I'm watching a lot of American channels, which is what Canadians are spoon-fed through our cable companies, and I'm looking at the drug commercials. Now, I'm wondering why it is that anyone with two working brain cells to rub together would listen to a 30-second commercial of which 20 seconds is dedicated to giving a warning about the dire consequences you can suffer if you take this drug, and the other 10 minutes is concerned with, ask your doctor if this drug is right for you.
Yeah.
And I'm going, how can anybody with a brain not figure out that taking this drug over, say, a Tylenol, which, and Tylenol is very dangerous to your liver, but the bottom line is, these people will listen to all this stuff of the stuff that can happen to you, including death, and they will still go to their doctor, and they will still say, what about this drug? I saw it on TV. Is it any good? And the doctor, of course, who has been regaled by pharmaceutical salesmen pushing and pushing and offering all kinds of incentives to push that particular drug, they're right there to encourage the doctor to prescribe what the patient wants. So only in the last 20 years or so have drug companies gone on TV and started pushing the kind of prescription medication. They used to push non-prescription, over-the-counter medication.
Oh, yeah.
And that was bad enough, okay? But now they're into prescription medications.
Yeah.
And now they're telling people to go and prescribe for themselves prescription medications and go and convince their doctor that they want to try it. And so what do we have? We have about 450 new diseases that didn't exist 100 years ago. We have people collapsing from this disorder, that disorder, going through all kinds of mental stuff. And speaking of mental stuff, this might be a good opportunity to talk about that Sandy Hook thing.
Yeah, because I did want to come back to that. Yeah,
because there's some real interesting stuff going on with the conversations that are going on, and they're using it to split the community that is semi-awake. And they're doing a darn good job of it. And this is all propaganda. This is how they split groups up, divide, and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
And Werner, you know that concept well, don't you? Divide and conquer. They'll split you up into this concern and that concern, and they get you chasing little rainbows all over the place. And by the time they're done, nobody has enough attention focused on the big items to do anything.
Well, basically, you're sending us on wild goose chases, even the ones that are looking for the truth.
Yep. Exactly.
So we exhaust our energies, chasing wild geese. Never catch.
Yep. Yeah. So in the meantime, we have a situation in Sandy Hook where increasingly we're finding inconsistencies in the story. The tapes that were recorded of police officers on the scene, they had multiple people that they were hauling down to the ground and arresting, and yet there was only one shooter. Okay? The coroner said that all of these people were shot with at least 2 to 3 bullets from a .223 rifle. Okay, yet the rifle itself was found in the trunk of the car. So how could he have shot these people with the rifle when he never exited the school to put the rifle back in the trunk? And how could he have shot all these people with a .223 when nobody's account says he was in a room popping people execution style? That's back of the head.
There's another question. Just a few days afterward, they interviewed one of the school staff, and she said... The young fellow, Adam Lanza, he was outside the door and he begged her to let him in. He was scared.
And there was another. There was another one in the Sandy Hook Bee. It's their local newspaper that said that something that the school principal said after the event happened, and yet the principal was supposed to be one of the people who was killed first. So how is it possible she was interviewed after the event if she was dead at the beginning of the event?
They seem to pop up these little actors and actresses who play these roles.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we really don't know what went on in that
school. No, we
don't.
And we have to understand, these people are past masters. I mean, come on, watch a spy movie. Watch the cleanup teams in action. They put all this in the public eye. We've seen all this. We've seen it going on since the first early movies in the 40s and the 50s where corruption was exposed like that. We've seen this stuff going on, yet blindly we seem to think, oh, well, that's old stuff. They're not doing that anymore. Yes, they bloody well are.
They're working not just only at 2 levels, they're working at 5, 6, and 7 different levels.
Exactly.
On us.
Oh, yeah. And all of these people, you know, none of these people are the elite. None of them are the bankers. So what is being referred to there is those same people that my friend on the West Coast was saying in that wonderful quote that I just read, that essentially people are that brain dead, right? And so consequently a whole bunch of other people are trying to hop on the same gravy train. And they think because they have the ability to hop on that gravy train that that makes them part of the team. And they will find out very quickly that they are not part of the elite team. They're just making short-term gain for long-term misery.
And as soon as they have done their duty, they get thrown underneath the wheels.
Oh, yeah. If they don't want to go willingly, they'll be thrown.
They have to be tied up, have to be eliminated.
Exactly. Well, this is what you do when you've got somebody complicit in a crime with you. You kill them off, right?
Yeah.
I watch movies, too. This is what you do. Oh, you know who did this? Bang, you're dead. Now I got no witnesses.
Yeah.
You know?
And in this ordeal of Sandy Hill, you see the corruption of the media so evidently. Like anyone who has any internet research, it's so obvious that the whole drama that they're presenting on TV is completely fallacious.
Uh-huh.
There's no evidence to any of it. And
yep.
You even see witnesses who come on and they're smiling ahead of time as though they're playing this big role. And then they come on TV and you see the fellow change shape and kind of give a talk about how his daughter was killed. I mean, it's so farcical.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what really got me? This is what really got me. This got me literally boiling with anger. Okay? And that was when Obama went on TV, and he made like he was crying, and he wasn't. His eyes were not even wet.
Yeah.
We've all cried. We all know what the sensation of trying to hold back tears is. We've all been there. And because we've all been there, we know what happens to our bodies when that's going on. Our faces get red, our noses get red, our eyes fill up with tears, our eyes get red, right? and that when the tears flow, they do not flow from the outside corners of our eyes. They flow from the corner next to the nose, because that corner is a little lower, and gravity wins, right? So
yeah.
What side of his face was Obama wiping? The outside of his eyes, not the inside, the outside. So he's wiping, and he, you know, gives this little cursory flick of a tear that wasn't there.
Yeah.
And all the time he's playing like he gives a damn about all these kids who are supposedly, and we, you know, I'm sorry, it sounds pretty cold to say it, but we don't know these children are dead because there's too many inconsistencies. But the nerve of the man to stand there and whine about 20 American kids, okay?
And how many did they kill with their drones in
exactly.
the meantime?
He's killed thousands of Iraqi and Afghani and Libyan and God knows who else. Who else's children have they killed with these drone attacks? And to stand there and give American children more importance than anyone else's child is, to me, the most black-hearted, cold-hearted thing anyone can do anywhere. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, this
is what I noticed there too when I watched there when they interviewed the parents. Not a single one, the parents and the teacher, not a single one. I saw any tears coming out of their eyes.
Nope.
The faces made all the mimics like they were kind, but the eyes were dry.
Yep.
Well,
you know, I don't know about you guys, but you know, if I see an animal in pain, I'm in tears.
Yeah.
Right? How can you, in real circumstances, with that level of trauma, not be a heap, just a sodden mess? How can you not be?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get this, unless you're acting and well paid to do it. And we don't know what the records are of these people. Then we see this very curious expose in the movie that was showing at the Aurora Theater when that shooting took place. And right in that movie, they're pointing to a map, and on that map says Sandy Hook.
Oh, okay? Yeah, that's in The Dark Rider, isn't it?
It's in The Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight Rises,
yeah.
And it shows it in the sand.
Yeah. And interestingly enough,
did you watch the interview of the when the sheriff's there? Or the police official, when he threatened the media that they would get persecuted.
Uh-huh.
And there might be another twist to it. Most of the upper echelon of the police, there are Masons.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And what is the agenda of the ultimate agenda of the Masons?
Well, if we get into ultimate agendas, I mean, people are going to start running for the hills. they had an idea.
Deification of man.
The which?
The deification of man.
Yes.
But they got the completely wrong idea about the deification of man. Like, the deification of man has to do with the human heart, not their mind
racketness. It doesn't have anything to do with big buildings and perfect technology.
Yeah, exactly. They're basically anthropomorphizing everything into a sort of reality. They've usurped the New Age movement. The New Age movement, we had a discussion with some friends of mine in the last week or so, and these particular friends are all very spiritual people. They're not religious people, they're spiritual people. And one of them, who's very young, she's a university student, she said to me, "I thought New Age was all about the rekindling and the reopening of all these ancient bits of knowledge that people gathered from observation of nature and how nature worked within the world." And she had the impression that that's what the New Age was all about. But it's been usurped. It's been taken over, and we're hearing that Maurice Strong's name has popped up in connection with the new one-world religion called Gaia.
Yeah.
I believe in the Lord, and according to the Bible, the next world government, it will be the government of the Antichrist.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but they want to brainwash the people and get them to believe that the next government will be the 1,000 years reign of the Lord when he comes back.
Yeah, well, this is there's your fundamentalism being usurped. And on top of that, you know, there's a whole bunch of people who are all worried about, well, who particularly is this Antichrist? Well, if Christ was all about truth, then the Antichrist would be all about lies.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
So does it really matter what the whether there's an individual or is it a governance by lie that is the Antichrist? And quite frankly, given all the possibilities of who could be the Antichrist and who's the enemy here, the lie is the enemy, not the individual. The lie is the enemy.
Listen, in Daniel 9, it talks about the king of the north and the king of the south. And then it talks about another one. He comes with flattery upon the fattest places. He's a raiser of taxes, and he divides the land for gain. And when I read that, I thought to myself, doesn't that sound a lot like those political leaders now?
Doesn't it, though?
With promises, they come upon the fattest places. And then they divide all the resources to those that provide them with the greatest benefits.
Exactly.
That gives the biggest payback.
That's exactly what Ingo was talking about in that quote. They're hopping on the gravy train. All these people are hopping on the gravy train, and they think that gravy train actually has a destination. And it doesn't, you know. All they're going to be doing is living in temporary comfort, and when it comes push to shove, they're going to be nowhere to be found. They'll be the first ones who get squashed.
The gravy train goes down on the highway to hell.
Yeah, well, you know what they say in the Bible. They say when the blind lead the blind, they both wind up where? In the ditch.
Uh-huh.
Right? When the blind lead the blind, they both shall end up in the ditch. And that's what it says. And no kidding. That is just pure logic.
It's so funny to hear you talk of Maurice Strong and the Gaia hypothesis. Because even the Gaia hypothesis, like, that's a very sensible. I quite agree with that, of the Earth as being a living being. But it's like the people who are proposing the Gaia hypothesis, they're the ones spraying us with chemtrails from coast to coast destroying the land and destroying the water and the whole thing. They don't have Gaia in their central interest.
No, they don't. But here's the thing, Christopher. Here's the thing. When they talk, they're not just stopping with Gaia being a living organism. They're not stopping there. What they're basically doing is they're saying that now that we humans, we are God. Okay? They're saying, I am the, and this is one of the covenants that was taken by the James Twyman group, which is called the Beloved Community, and this is one of the first ones about 10 years ago that started coming out with this stuff. And this guy said in his covenant, it's called the Sacred Heart Covenant, and he said, I am part of the collective soul of humanity, which is God. My first response is, well, wait a minute, what about the rest of the universe? Didn't God create that too?
Well, it's funny.
How can this be possible? But then when you look at the Gaia religion, and you realize that Maurice Strong is known to be the head of the Church of Satan, or at least, you know, way up there in the Church of Satan.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's very interesting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's part of the elite, right? And what do they worship? Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
So they're also Church of Satan.
Yeah.
So you got this guy, and they've had a one-world religion council at the UN since 1962. They've been trying to bring in a world religion on the premise that religions cause all these wars. I'm going, no, they don't. Money causes all these wars. Power, theft, greed, all these negative things, they cause war. Religion does not. But religion has been used as an excuse. Wipe out this population, wipe out that population. And when you go back to the Spanish Inquisition, where the Catholic Church, on the direction of Pope, get this, get the name of the guy, Pope Innocent III. Okay, Innocent was the guy's name, and he ordered the extermination of the Gnostic religion in Western Europe because they already had 11 main bishoprics in France. They were starting to outstrip the Catholic Church in terms of the money collected.
Oh, yeah.
So the Inquisition was based on wiping out these people, which they did. Okay, and there was a famous quotation of when the Inquisition forces came into a Spanish village, and Simon de Montfort, who is one of the French, northern French nobles closer to Germany, again Germany, than the south of France, which is close to Spain, he's crossing a bridge with the Inquisition general, and he says, how do we tell the faithful from the infidel? And the general says, I don't know, kill them all.
Yeah, I believe it. That's the whole of human history.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the same thing over and over and over again, and we keep falling into it over and over and over again. And we think, for some reason, we think that this generation is smarter than the other generations, and therefore we won't fall into the same traps. And yet we say that while walking into the traps.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Duh.
Well,
you know, the yogi said desire was a trap. Boy, is it ever.
You mentioned there about the Inquisition, especially in Europe and Central Europe and Western Europe.
Yep.
When you look at the history, I don't think there is a country who has paid as great a price in blood as the people of Germany.
That's right.
In the
That's
30
right.
years
All
war,
of the, and,
at the
and
beginning
of, course,
of the 30 years war, there were about 18 million people living there. By the end of the 30 years war, there were only between 2 and 3 million people left.
Wow. Mm-hmm. In Germany?
Yep.
And
wow.
When you look at the history over the last 1,200 years, 1,500 years, Germany was the heart of Europe, and it always was being invaded, you know, and run over from the east, from the south, from the west, from the north. Germany as a whole, the German people, they weren't going out and conquering. They were always at the receiving end.
Yeah.
You know, all those great empires, you know, the French Empire, 30 Years' War, you had mercenaries from Spain, from the Balkans, from Southern Europe, from Northern Europe, you know, going back and forth and devastating the country. Then you had, centuries earlier, the invasion by the Mongolian hordes, Attila and Genghis Khan, you know, and then Napoleon. And that's the way it went, you know, from Denmark. And as I say, Germany had been always at the receiving end. And for that reason, I would admonish to watch that documentary.
Yeah, we'll have to watch that and come back again and discuss
and
it.
And as I say, we have to look, take a sober second look of history and get the information as close to the original sources as we can get it before any kind of a media whore or political whore or whatever had a chance to put their own spin on for whatever purpose.
Well, that's what we're realizing now, is that all this false history has been brought into the TV stations and into the educational system. So we have this completely false, erroneous history that we've been taught for years.
See, when people build their future on lies of the past, those people will have no future. And I don't want that the people of North America will perish. I want North America to prosper. And I want the people to wake up and be a blessing to the world and not a curse to the world.
Yeah. And
because
one of the
curses,
things,
sooner or later, they come back to the ones who sent them out.
Well, look what Iceland did. It can be done. Look what Iceland did.
I want to bring it to a simple level, since you mentioned Iceland. And all those perpetrators that are in high places and that are greatly endangering all our safety. Here in Canada, there's a Mental Health Act, and I think it's similar in the United States. And it states when a person becomes a danger to its own safety or to the safety of others, you know, they are to be apprehended and put into a place where they can do any more damage.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Maybe that should be applied to all those perpetrators and all those criminals in high and low, especially in high places, because they are the indicators.
Well, that's
the
one
problem.
One of my favorite methods, thou shalt use their laws against them. Well, you know what? They want to call all of us crazy. You look at the DSM-5. As I said at the top of the show, every human emotion is now being demonized as a mental illness.
There's another documentary, Psychiatry Industry of Death.
Uh-huh.
You know?
No kidding.
One of the most bogus professions.
Yeah, well, that brings us back to the Sandy Hook thing, okay? And the reason it brings us back there, you want to talk bogus professions, this is exactly what it is, Werner. This is exactly what it is. You look at the work of Dr. Peter Breggin, who exposed all this stuff years ago and is still exposing it. But now we've got, there's a site called SSRIstories.com. Okay, SSRIstories.com is personal accounts that close to the source type information with all of the events that have happened, all of the negative things that have happened with people who have been put on psychiatric drugs.
Oh.
Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Those are SSRIs. Okay, those include drugs like Prozac and Zoloft, and all these different drugs that are so common, they're taken by Americans like candy.
Yeah.
And basically what you've got is you've got a whole litany of things that have happened that are really, really bad, school shootings and mass shootings of all kinds, started with the Joseph Wiesbecker case in Detroit many years ago. The expression going postal came from that. Joseph Wiesbecker was a fired U.S. Postal Service employee who took a shotgun back to work one day and shot 12 of his co-workers dead.
Oh, yeah.
He was on Prozac. Okay. Then you look at the Colorado school shootings. Those kids were on Luvox. Okay.
And apparently had been raped, hadn't
yeah.
they, at the... Yeah.
Well, and there's all kinds of stuff that goes with these things and all kinds of reasons why people might go... start raving bonkers, but there is another agenda going on with this Sandy Hook thing and the Aurora thing, and that is the disarming of America.
Yeah, exactly.
And what they've done is they've allowed people to push the psychiatric drug story over the top, and so now people are focused on how damaging these drugs are. And who comes along but Dr. Rima Labo, the number one controlled opposition agent. She comes out of MK Ultra and the Army, the mind control. Her and her husband, Major General retired Albert N. Stubblebine, who was the subject of controversy in the movie and the book, The Men Who Stare at Goats. Okay. These two people run the Natural Solutions Foundation. Okay, but they come out of, and he was the head of MK Ultra, which is their mind control, trance hypnosis, Manchurian candidate type of mind control,
wow.
Exposed by Bryce Taylor and Kathy O'Brien as two of its victims, exposed by a whole number of other people as well. Okay, and essentially what you've got going on here is you've got a scenario where these drugs are now being allowed to be blamed for these spates of violence. Then you've got Rima Labo comes out and says, I'm Adam Lanza's daughter, or doctor. Adam Lanza was the shooter in Sandy Hook, supposedly, the kid. Okay. Now, interestingly enough, Rima Labo says, I never prescribed him anything. He relapsed. I'm going, wait a minute. The kid had Asperger's syndrome. Asperger's kids and autistic kids might throw a tantrum here and there, but they've never been known as mass murderers.
No.
Right? So all this confusion, that was the first protection of pharma's interest in all of this. But they've been blaming the drugs and blaming mentally ill people and saying, now, on the one hand, they say, mentally ill people should not have access to guns. Well, that sounds perfectly reasonable to me on its face. But what if you then turn around with a DSM-5?
How many of the soldiers that are being sent and that are using firing off depleted uranium?
Yeah, but wait, Werner, because this is really important.
How many of those soldiers are still mentally stable?
Yeah, but Werner, this is the. Yeah. Let me make the point here, the comparison. I have to go back now to the comparison. They're saying that mentally ill people should not have access to firearms, and most people have to agree with that. Sounds pretty reasonable. Okay, but then the DSM-5 comes along and makes every human emotion a mental illness, so that means they can declare everybody mentally ill, and that means they can take the guns away from everybody.
Yeah.
That's the point. This is a connector that people are missing, that they too can be pronounced mentally ill by their government if they grieve too much or cry too much or get too mad or disagree with their government. You disagree with your government, you've got oppositional defiant disorder.
Mm.
That's one of the new ones they got in the DSM-5, oppositional defiant disorder, which means you disagree with authorities. Now you're mentally ill if you disagree.
You know that I had been put in 1975 and 1976 twice into the loony bin upon false accusation. And while I was in there, I was listening to the radio. And at the time, in the former Soviet Union, they were putting political dissidents into mental institutions and drugging them up. They couldn't do it anymore right in your face and in face of the world. Of putting them in prison camps and so on. So they said there's something wrong with their head.
Yeah, huh? That's what they're doing again.
In other words, psychiatry was being used as a latter-day enforcers.
Yeah, and that's what they're doing again here.
Instead of executing people, they put on a human face, that they were concerned about the welfare of those people, that
uh-huh.
had some kind of a psychiatric problem.
We're going to help them now.
The beneficial communist system.
Uh-huh. Well, it goes back, doesn't it? It goes back all the way to a movie out of the 1960s called They Live, starring Roddy Piper, who was an ex-wrestler. He was one of the first wrestlers to become an actor. But at any rate, this movie was the forerunner of The Matrix. And in this movie, which is available on YouTube, it's called They Live. Okay? You can Google it on YouTube, and I would suggest it's a good movie. It's a good movie. But when you see the mind control that's being used and how it's being done, you know, and this is a movie out of the 60s, you got to ask yourself, where have our minds gone that we were exposed so fully to things like that back then?
Yeah.
People just would not believe that their government could be that evil. And that it's the same thing that we've got now.
People playing us like a fiddle.
Exactly. They're playing us like a second fiddle is what they're playing us like, not even first fiddle. You know? So, I mean, we're playing second fiddle to lies, and that is the Antichrist right there. Boom. All the lies is the Antichrist.
But the people who believe the lies... In the scripture, Satan was a liar and a murderer right from the beginning.
Yep.
And here I have to add, and so are his followers.
Yep. And even if you wanted to take the personifications out of that and say that Satan is lies, okay? Not a person, not a personification, but Satan is lies. That makes everybody who lives by lies one of his minions, doesn't it? Just by definition. So it doesn't matter whether you want to follow the Bible or not. If you know that lies are wrong,
yeah.
And people who lie are also wrong, then what you're basically saying is the same thing, whether or not you believe in Satan or whether you believe in a God sitting on a cloud somewhere, whether you follow the Bible or anything else. What's true is true. And all, as A Course in Miracles points out, only the truth is real, and what is real cannot be threatened. And I used to say to people, oh, you think the sky is green? Well, take your spray can, call me when you're done.
I'm not sure of the connection.
Well, because they, if they're going around saying that, that the sky is green and it's an obvious lie, the truth is the sky is blue, okay? They can huff and puff all they want. They can't make the sky green.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Chris.
You know, you just can't. You can't make the truth into a lie. There it is. You can't destroy it. So why are we, as human beings, as Christians, who are taught to live by the truth, why do we allow the lies in our own lives
and all
or
of the lies?
Else?
It's
yeah.
like at every level of our organization,
exactly.
from the federal government to the provincial government,
exactly.
to the corporate heads, to the banking heads, all
exactly.
these people, they're all, it's all one big lie, everything.
Exactly. And then they turn around, these silly buggers, they turn around and they say, oh, I'm a Christian. You are,
yeah.
are you?
Yeah.
Really? Do you want to go one-on-one with Jesus about that? Because I'd love to be a fly on the wall at that conversation. I would love to be a fly on the wall. You know, I mean, there was only one point of violence that Jesus ever raised in all of his history, and that was against pedophiles, and he said it would be better to put a millstone around the neck and of these people and throw them in the ocean than it would be to harm a hair on the head of one of these little ones. That's
yeah.
the only time he ever got, you know, said anything that indicated that it'd be better to kill somebody, right? But
yeah.
as far
there
as I'm concerned,
time
I'm looking.
He got very violent, and that was when he changed, when he chased the money changers out of the temple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you see, people were taught. I know I was taught by my United Church upbringing. I was taught that the reason he did that was because they were conducting business on the Sabbath. It's not. It's because they were charging interest. They were
wow.
charging compound interest. Then when you look at Albert Einstein, Albert Einstein was asked, what is the most negative force on the planet? You know what his response was? Compound interest.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
That's what well. He said.
And this is where the Islamic world and the so-called Christian world are coming at loggerheads.
Exactly. Because the Christian world allows what Christ would not allow, which makes them all liars.
Yeah.
Makes them all liars. And quite frankly, the you know, we so-called Christians, and we were never Christians, we never were. Those who follow Christ do not think this way. Those who have followed the religions do not think this way, but those who follow the truth as Christ taught it, none of these people can tolerate any of this stuff. None of them can, because they know about the lies, and they know that Jesus said, be harmless.
It's so amazing how all of the Bible, like the Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, I think all have the same honorable motives. But what they've done is to turn these religions into opposing forces. And that's always been the lie.
It's worse than that, I think. I think it's worse than that because they have removed from their religious teachings anything that would allow the individual to form a real personal relationship with what they believe, to form a real personal relationship, connect themselves with the universe, connect themselves with God, connect themselves in the picture. What they've done is they've created sets of dogma, and their dogma contradicts their scripture, but they'll skip over that, and they'll teach contradicting theories, and people just go into church, and they come out and say, what a lovely sermon. You know, and they don't even think about the contradictions they're being fed. You know, you cannot call yourself a Christian and say, I'm going to go out and wipe out a few savages because that's what Christ would want. You know, Christ
wouldn't call. Oh, ye, my little flock. He was not talking about a great worldly institution.
No, it wasn't.
As soon as a religion becomes, in the Christian religion, becomes an institution in the world, then that institution has to make arrangements with the ruler of this world. And this is what the Lord clearly stated. Satan is the ruler of this world.
Exactly, because the world is run by lies.
Yeah.
And, you know, and for them to be pushing all this stuff, and then in the meantime, if you look at the dogma, not the spiritual principles, because every religion in the world has the golden rule in it, okay? Every single one, they all have the golden rule. What is the golden rule? Well, the golden rule says, do not do unto others as you, or do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It says in the Talmud, which I find real interesting, it says, do not unto your brother that which you would not have your brother do unto you. This is the law. In fact, it is the only law, beyond which all else is but commentary. Well, if you take it that way, you look at the Ten Commandments. And what do the Ten Commandments then turn into but an excellent guidebook on how to avoid breaking the Golden Rule, which is, according to yoga, which predates the Bible by 4,000 years, it's the law of karma. You put it out, you get it back. As you sow, so shall you reap. It becomes an eye for an eye in the Muslim tradition. It is, everything is under the law of karma, and it must be so because we are a binary world. We operate entirely on the strength of opposites. We understand everything according to its opposite. Like, we understand hot by knowing what cold is. We understand up by knowing what is down. Right? We understand yes by understanding no. And neither one of those phrases can be understood without understanding the opposite. So the whole game becomes understanding both sides of the universal coin. And that's exactly how Christ taught.
You mentioned the Talmud. And you mentioned about the brother. But in the Talmud, who are the brothers?
Yeah, well, that, you see, that's dogma. That's the dogma part. This is where they provide their own little spin on things, and they take out of all these wonderful directions and guidances for life, they leave those in, but then they put in a whole bunch of other stuff that makes all of that not so important anymore. And why do they do that? And then they remove things, like they removed reincarnation was removed from the teachings of the Bible in the 5th century, 500 years after Christ. So why would they do that? Well, if you think this is your only crack at life, you're going to be scared of God.
I think Werner's bringing up
a
good point here is that I think the earlier Talmudic writings were honorable, but then that was twisted.
Exactly.
When it became interpreted by the Ashkenazi Jews.
Exactly. And why did they do it? So they could keep control and keep collecting money. And then there's another thing I want to bring up, too, because it just crossed my mind. I'm seeing all these people in disaster. Like, disasters happen. Well, what happens then? People want to help, right? So what do? They form all these little groups. They form all these charities, right? And the little people pay up, right? They donate. They give money. And who are they giving money to? Well, the very charities that are funneling money away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it becomes, the disaster itself becomes a money-making venture for some people, but it's like with Haiti, the aid doesn't get there. It's like with Indonesia, the aid doesn't get there. What gets there instead is tourist hotels.
Yeah.
In Haiti, about a couple years later, there's still about 80% of the donated money was still sitting in bank accounts.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the people still were living in tents.
Yep. And then I look at the Indonesian tsunami of a few years ago. Okay. What happens? All of the agencies go rushing into Indonesia to so-called help. Okay. In the meantime, people are being ushered off their own property. After the floods had receded, they're ushered off their own property by black-shirted thugs.
Yeah.
Okay. Their land is taken, and in comes UNICEF and vaccinates all these kids.
Wow.
What do they vaccinate them for, you ask? Well, one of the most famous non-waterborne diseases in the world, measles. So within 2 weeks of the Indonesian tsunami, after UNICEF had gone in and vaccinated all these kids who had just been displaced and damaged and had their homes flooded out and destroyed and their property taken, now they're giving them a shot for measles, and son of a gun, don't you have a measles outbreak?
Wow.
In Indonesia, 2 weeks after UNICEF arrives with shots against measles.
Wow.
Then, last week, there was a revelation in the New England Journal of Medicine about an incident in 2009 where Orthodox Jewish kids in this community had a massive outbreak of mumps. And in that particular community of kids who all got mumps, 97% of them had already been vaccinated against mumps, most of them twice.
Wow.
So, you know, what are they doing? Well, they're using disasters, their so-called natural disasters. I'm looking at the Northwest Passage. The Northwest Passage, as we all know, has been something that has been historically desirable for trade route. Right, for many, many years, for more than a century and a half. And they tried navigating, right? But they couldn't because of the ice. Well, if you look right now at the top of the Earth from a satellite, what you see is all this so-called global ice melt that's going on. Funny thing, it's all happening on the Northwest Passage side. Funny thing, they're now talking about dredging out Hudson's Bay and James Bay and changing the aquifers around and doing all of that, building a new rail line up to Churchill, which coincides with the Continental Highway that they're building, the Trans-Texas Corridor, the TTC.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, which they've already started at the south end.
Yeah.
Now they're building things at the north end, and I'm going, wait a minute. All they're doing, why is HAARP in Alaska? Well, HAARP is in Alaska, and the patent on HAARP, by the way, includes geoengineering and weather modification.
Oh, does
it? It's right there in black and white. Yeah, right there in black and white. And this particular thing has been used unbeknownst to people. People are looking at, oh, weather modification, storms, blah, blah, blah. They're depopulating, blah, blah, blah. In the meantime, what they're also doing is melting glacial ice up there so they can have their Northwest Passage, because that's the only place it's happening. And all you've got to do is take a look at what's happening from a satellite image, and you can see it for yourself.
Wow.
Nobody's got to believe me. I saw it. I went, holy crap, look at that. It's on one side. How is that possible with the Earth rotating? How is it possible?
And this whole idea of digging out James Bay and Hudson's Bay, I mean, what a bizarre notion.
Well, that's them taking our water.
Exactly.
The aquifer flows into James Bay. What they want to do is they want to reverse that aquifer flow. And they've got all kinds of dams planned for up there. And one of the reasons why they're trying to get the natives off the northern reserves is because they want these reserves to go away. And, of course, that brings us to Idle No More, because they're trying to wipe out the trees. And they've got the Indians all thinking, or a lot of them are thinking, oh, well, maybe they're going to give us citizenship finally. Well, what a gift. We take your land and then we give you citizenship. Ain't that white of us? You know, and then what they don't realize is if you're a citizen, you can't live on a reserve. And then at the same time, they're signing a foreign investment protection agreement with China and giving China the ability to come in and choose whatever land they want, including resource-rich native reserves.
Wow.
So you see, when you start adding all these dots together, you go, holy crap, and who's at the top of this? Who is at the top of this? Because this is way beyond even a Harper. Way beyond Harper.
The politicians and the people in government, don't they get paid checks?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Again, they're paid toadies. they are being conned into thinking they're part of the elite. They will be protected. They're not going to be protected.
No, this is not about the issue about paychecks. But when they're getting paychecks, aren't they then servants? A servant get a paycheck.
Well, yeah.
And who pays for the paycheck? The people with their taxes. So
yeah.
They are supposed to be the masters.
Exactly.
And how is it possible that the servants can sell off the assets and the property of the masters?
Exactly. And then it takes us back to the old...
Isn't it called embezzlement?
Yeah, well, it takes us back to the old Pogo cartoon, doesn't it? We have seen the enemy, and he is us, because we're the idiots letting this happen.
Yeah, you know, this has all come down in our society from the very top. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I'm quite frankly, I am sick and tired of people blaming the government for this and blaming the government for that. Blame your own butt, people. Blame your own butt, because while all this was going on, whose thumb was who's up whose butt? Well, you did nothing. You did nothing. And when somebody 20 years from now says to you, and it happens to be your grandchild, what did you do to stop this, Grandma and Grandpa? What are you going to say to them then? Where's your pride going to be then? Where's your love of your children and of your country going to be then?
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, the bottom line is, evil thrives when good men do nothing. Well, all the so-called good people have done nothing, and this is what you got. You asked for it. You got it. Now, what are you going to do about it? You're going to get up off your asses and clean house, or are you going to sit there and let them do more? It's up to us.
This sentence is not finished. And when good people do nothing, then they are not good people anymore.
That's right.
Yes. That's
yeah, I kind of thought I just said that. You know what I mean? Same thing. Same thought, different phrasing. That's exactly what the point is. We aren't good people if we allow bad people to rule us.
Yeah. Werner had some interesting things to say there about the military that he was sharing a bit on the phone the other day. I wondered if you'd like to share some of that about what's being done by the U.S. military.
You have to help me. I've said so many things.
Uh-oh.
you have to give me a little bit of a
Well, it was about how many marine animals they were murdering and all their experimentation and using all this kind of weaponry on the people. And
a couple of years ago, or a year and a half ago, I came across Rosalind Peterson's website. She used to work for the California Department of Agriculture. She was a crop adjuster. But she's part of a group, Agricultural Defense Coalition. And she brought attention to the military, the Navy exercise on all coastlines of North America by the United States Navy, where they want to unleash all the weaponry they got, even in marine protected areas of the West Coast, and fire up over 5,000 Hellfire missiles, and chemical, biological weapons, sonic weapons, you know, when you hear about the whale beachings and so on.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they anticipate a casualty rate of at least 11 million marine mammals.
Wow. And this is
talk about insanity.
Yeah.
And maybe that's where there would be a place for the so-called mental health professional to have them picked up, the ones who give the orders, the generals. And the mad scientists who are involved in it. On inland firing ranges, they want to fire off, you know, as I say, the same, all their arsenals, including depleted uranium and chemical and biological weapons, as far in, I think, as Idaho and down in Colorado.
I mean, the whole...
And where does the depleted uranium dust blow? It blows across the continent.
Exactly.
It's like these people want to commit mass genocide. I mean, that's what their intention
is. This
is
where this comes in. There was several years back, a Dr. Eric Pianca, he gave a speech at the Texas Technical University.
Yeah.
And he advocated the killing off of 90% of the Earth's population. According to their premise, the Earth is overpopulated. And his preferred means was the aerial release of Ebola virus.
Wow.
And if anybody has been reading up about Ebola, people, they die a miserable death, something similar that had been released years ago in Laos. The central government released it on the Hmong people, mountain people that did not want to play ball with the central government. And the people, within 2 days, their bodies completely disintegrated. They had planes flying over and raining something on the people, what the people called yellow rain. And within minutes, you know, the blood would come out of all orifices. And this is what Dr. Bianca advocated. His claim to fame was they called him the lizard man. All his life he studied lizards.
Yes, he was a reptile expert. And not only that, as I recall, that very speech that he gave, he got a standing ovation.
That is a very disturbing part. And people went on the stage and they congratulated him and hugged him. And this is that representative about the majority of those that are now being come down the front steps of the universities?
Apparently.
And in the Bible, it talks about the biblical plagues, like plagues of locusts.
Yeah.
And in the States on the plains in the 30s, you know, they had the grasshopper plagues, and so you know that basically devastated things. But we are dealing in the latter days. We are dealing with a modern form of locusts that are come down the steps of those institutions of higher learning in white coats.
Yeah.
Come down the steps, and then they spread their wings. And some of them, they swarm over to Monsanto, others to the military-industrial complex, and others to the pharmaceutical companies, and wherever they can do mischief. You know, this would be the modern-day locust, and they're a lot more dangerous.
Yeah.
Well,
they are doing harm to humanity for many generations. And eventually cause the extinction of humanity and of life on this planet.
Well,
the locusts,
you know,
they just ate up the plants that were grown and the crops that were grown, you know, and then they would fade away, and then again, you know, new crops could be planted.
Well, there's no question that, you know, the damages that they've done just over the last 100 years have been substantial, and one of the things that has been most substantial is the fact that the sperm count of males in the world has dropped by nearly 70%.
Wow.
Which is why you've got fertility clinics all over the place popping up, because people are having difficulty having children. Not that I think it's a smart thing to have a child in this kind of a society, but on the other hand, there are people who are selfish enough to say, I want to have a child now, because that's what we're supposed to do, isn't it? You know, but the bottom line is, between fluoride and genetically modified soy and all kinds of medical means and chemical means, they have destroyed our ability to reproduce the way we used to.
Yeah.
And they're still going. They're still going, and if that's not good enough, you know, they're going to hit us with other things as well.
And,
so,
Dr. Holmes, you know the way they hounded you out of the teaching profession.
Yeah.
Ms. Nicholson, she mentioned about the GM modified. There was this Dr. Pustai. I think he was in Scotland. He had a team.
Yeah, Dr. Pustai,
and they
had
one feeding test with, GM-modified corn. And they used rats as experimental animals.
Oh,
and
yeah.
One-third of the young rats, when fed this GM-modified corn, they didn't grow up. And after the third generation, they couldn't produce any more rats.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're finding the same results now in replications of that study. They're finding it all over the place. And what
happened to him? With a few days, they kicked him out. They fired him. His whole team.
Look at Andrew Wakefield, Dr. Andrew Wakefield, who exposed the connection between the MMR shot and autism. What did they do? They demonized him. They destroyed his credibility. They took his medical license away, and now he's getting that back because the proof has been put forward that he was right in the first place. So he's winning, but the thing is that nobody's reporting on his win. They only report on his loss.
The same way Rebecca Carly.
Yep.
Dr. Rebecca Carly.
Yep.
Chief Chopra, who used to work for the Department of Agriculture.
Yes,
Canadian
my good
Department
friend.
Of Agriculture. They fired him and two of his co-workers who warned about the dangers of GM-modified crops.
Well, it was RGBH hormone in dairy he prevented.
Okay. Chief Chopra, he warned about the hormone in dairy cows.
Yeah, but again, that's recombinant DNA that he's talking about. Because RGBH hormone is recombinant bovine growth hormone, which means it's bovine growth hormone that has been genetically modified by recombining genes. So it was GMO of a sort that he was protesting against. And he absolutely flat blank refused. He said, no, this is causing organ damage in cows. It's causing reproductive damage in cows. We cannot have this in our country. And he stood his ground and left the Canadian government no alternative but to fire him. At the same time as he was doing that, his wife, Nirmala, Dr. Nirmala Chopra, also worked for Health Canada, and this very few people know about this, but Nirmala Chopra was responsible for exposing the damage from silicone breast implants, and she was another one. Who was based? She wasn't fired, but they took her and they put her in labs where she had no work. So they were paying her, right? But she wasn't doing any work.
Wow.
She was isolated from all of her work. They took her off the projects that she was exposing. And of course, as we all know, women were given silicone breast implants like they were going out of style. And it's now estimated if you get silicone breast implants, you're liable to have 9 surgeries over your lifetime minimum.
Well,
the problems that they cause, 9 surgeries. And I know that for a personal fact because my daughter, against my best advice, went and did that, okay? And she had, within the first year, 3 surgeries to correct things.
Well.
So there you go. I mean, you're talking about the creation of money mills for profit.
In the mid-70s, I remember there on the CBC, they interviewed one of the distraught disenchanted young students that had come from universities and there were no jobs waiting for him. And he said, government promised us jobs when we would go to university and we would do our studies, when we would come back from university, there would be jobs waiting for us. But now there's no jobs there. And if the government doesn't give us jobs, we're going to do damage. And we are then the only ones who have the expertise to undo the damage. So the government has to hire us.
Yeah,
and
let me point out, now that you've raised that point, let me expand on that. I saw a commercial a few weeks ago that absolutely... You know, it's just amazing to me how they put this stuff right out where people can actually see it happening. Because you're talking about educational manipulation of the masses. In other words, put them into institutions that are going to teach all the stuff that these people want you to know and not any of the stuff that they don't want you to know. And what this was an ad for a U.S. college. And what they said in this ad was that we work with all of industry's top people, right, the top corporations in the world, to ensure that we offer all the courses that are going to provide you with a job when you graduate.
Wow.
So in other words, what they're doing is the same, they are basically coming right out and saying that they are influencing the kind of education that is available according to what they want for their labor force. And that means there is no creativity, there is no inspiration, there is no independent thought, right? There's no innovation possible under things like that because nobody's allowed to think outside the box. The box is getting smaller and smaller, and these are institutions of education, and they are complying with the corporate influence. Why?
Yeah.
Because the corporations pay the bill.
Yeah.
Again, it's money. So who are we sacrificing on this altar? Our children and their future. We are sacrificing them on the altar of somebody else's money. It's not even our money. We're never going to see a penny of it, but we're going to sacrifice our kids on that altar anyway. Now, how stupid is that?
According to Bill Gates, they only want about 500 million people left. But I said there a while ago, I said that the Earth still isn't big enough for 500 million Bill Gateses.
That's right.
Yeah, really.
That's right. Well, he's been reading the Georgia Guidestones too much.
Yeah.
Go Google Georgia Guidestones, people, and you'll see.
His family, his parents and grandparents, they were involved in the eugenics movement.
Exactly. They were huge in eugenics. Huge. And interestingly enough, you also find people from the eugenics movement that have been placed in high positions in the Obama administration.
Oh, do you?
Yes, you do. They're all over the place. People who have connections with eugenicists. I mean, come on, anybody with who's connected with Henry Kissinger knows what that's about, don't they? Because Henry Kissinger is one of the prime eugenicists in the world.
Yeah.
You know, as is Prince Philip. Prince Philip, who said that if there's such a thing as reincarnation, he wanted to come back as a very potent virus to help solve the world's depopulation problem.
No, he quoted it in more bluntly, to get rid of all those useless eaters.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what they like to call us, as useless eaters, people who aren't producing, right?
We're
just consuming.
But what did Prince Philip produce? Or whole family clique for centuries. Misery all over the world.
Yep.
Basically,
the British
Empire has been an empire on a at least 400-year crime spree all around the world.
Yeah,
wow.
And not only that, Prince Philip himself is from an aristocratic German family.
But those blue-blooded, most of them, they have been the bloodsuckers on the people of Europe.
Of course they
especially
have.
Especially on Germany, under the feudal system. And they were in bed with organized church.
Yep.
And
that's an interesting phrase.
If anybody, maybe there are translations available. There was a writer, Ludwig Ganghofer. He wrote several books about the excesses centuries ago, the way this was abusing the ordinary people. But this was going on all over Europe.
Yep, yep. And it's,
In North America there was slavery, in Europe, especially in Central Europe, they had the church being in bed with the blue bloods.
Oh, yes, always. Always.
It's overwhelming.
I mean, you go back, all you got to look at is Henry VIII, you'll figure that one out.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, those are excellent bloodlines.
Oh,
kill
yeah,
off their own
real
relatives
great.
And what else are.
There's more insanity and craziness in those bloodlines because they're interbred, they got a small gene pool, and there's more insanity. I mean, the Queen has a few noted relatives who have spent their entire lives in loony bins for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, and then you look at the madness of King George, and you look at some of the other crazy stuff that's gone on. Oh, and by the way, I want to throw this out because I just saw it on a documentary this week on Lady Diana, Princess Di.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And let me just ask you this as a preamble. Do you know what the verdict was on the inquest? What was the verdict when they did an inquest into her death?
Was supposed to have been an accident.
No, that's not the verdict.
Oh.
That's what we were told was the verdict.
Oh.
The actual verdict, if you look it up, was an unlawful killing, which means she was murdered. That's what the jury came up with.
It has been
suppressed by the media that they came out with that conclusion. It was unlawful killing was the exact wording of that verdict.
Oh, yeah, that's the title of the video, wasn't it? Yeah,
that's
that you
right.
sent out. Yeah, unlawful
that's
killing.
Right. Oh. Unlawful killing.
Didn't realize they came to that conclusion.
Yeah, they came to that conclusion. Yeah, none of us realized. But see, this is how they manipulate.
Yeah.
And there's Diana who had written a note saying, my husband's planning to have me knocked off in a car accident, serious head injury, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I remember when on television, when she was injured in the car and the paparazzis were ganging up on her and she said, leave me alone.
Yeah, well, on top of that, did you know it took 87 minutes to get her to hospital? She would have lived. It took 87 minutes to get her to hospital. The title on that segment of the film is World's Slowest Ambulance.
Wow.
Now, this is unheard of. Nobody takes 87 minutes to get the ambulance to the hospital. Nobody.
But, unless you want the person to die before they
exactly.
get to the hospital.
Exactly. And she was conscious and lucid when
yeah.
they got to the car.
Oh, yeah.
She was conscious and lucid. Then they said that the driver was drunk like a pig. Drunk as a pig was the headline.
Yeah.
yeah.
Which wasn't true at all.
He yeah. had two Ricards that night. Okay, now a Ricard is sort of, it's an anise-flavored, licorice-flavored drink, and it's drunk as an aperitif, like a wine before dinner in France. I like the stuff myself, and it is a real nice drink just before dinner because it's got licorice in it, and licorice, of course, is really good for your digestion. So, at any rate, he had had two Ricards. Now, Ricard, you'd have to drink an awful lot of it to get drunk. And he had two small Ricards. That's
yeah.
what was on his bill. That's all he had in his system, yet they said he was drunk as a pig. Not possible.
I mean, it seems everything in that case was distorted by the public health
figures.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. most notably, like I said, the verdict. Because, you know, you guys, both of you are diggers into information. Both of you are researchers. And the fact remains that both of you thought that it was ruled an accident. That's how successful they were at manipulating the media.
Yeah.
That's how successful they were. That you know, and I heard something that was mentioned in passing on some other show that, oh, well, that was an accident. And I'm going, look at that. You know, there here it is, a major public inquiry. They spent millions of pounds on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, lots of time on it, and they tried very hard to suppress evidence, and the jury still came out with this verdict of unlawful killing.
Yeah, wow.
Right? And nobody knows that happened. How
yeah.
is that possible unless we, the people, are just not paying attention?
Well, we're
and
not. No one
and
is.
And again, I say, it's us. It's us. We are the problem now. You can look all you want at all these people who are causing us problems and the things that they're doing. And as we've all been pointing out, all these different things for the last 2 hours, okay, what I'm saying now is how much of this could they get away with unless we comply? If we didn't comply, how much could they get away with?
Look, there never was a generation that has had as much access to information as the present generation.
Exactly.
And they don't make use of it.
Exactly. Why? Because they're
yeah.
dumbed down. You know, they all want to make their world and their way in the world, and they figure that if they don't listen to how things are supposed to be according to the elite, they're never going to get anything in life. You know, oh, you got to get ahead in life. That's what I was raised on. That was my father's mantra. Oh, you got to get ahead in life. And I kept saying, ahead of what? And he never
That's
had
what
an
I'm
answer.
Myself now.
He used to shake his head and walk away. And I'm going, ahead of what? Get ahead of. Where's the line? And who's in it? You know? never had an answer. He just shook his head and walked away. And I'm going, well, yeah, that's the way the world is. They shake their heads and they walk away. And then what? Then what? Then we all suffer with all this crap ad infinitum, and because we shake our heads and walk away.
Well, I notice we're coming towards the end of the show, and I did think it would be interesting a little bit to see what we all see for 2013. I know for myself at the moment, like, you hear all the anti-gun legislation that's coming down, and I really foresee something major happening in the states related to this gun legislation.
It's coming, and you know, there are predictions that Mr. Obama isn't going to survive too much longer because somebody's going to knock him off. And, you know, I haven't heard those predictions coming out for a long time, but they're coming out now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm wondering if maybe what I saw in the last inauguration, you know, in 2008, when he was elected the first time, his inauguration ceremony and the inauguration ceremonies, bear in mind, are all Masonic ritual, and that ritual was screwed up every way from Sunday. And I took a look at that, and I went, ah, they're cutting him off at the knees. At some point, they're going to scapegoat him. And I'm going, well, you know, here's people who are saying that somebody's going to knock him off and this and that. And I went, well, yeah, now would be a good time for that to come true. And, of course, if that happened, what's that going to do? Get martial law happening? In the meantime, you got the DSM-5 telling everybody, you're all insane. If you have a feeling, you're insane. You can't be human. You can't be a godlike entity if you have emotion. What?
So you see some pretty serious times coming
upon
us. And possibly
quickly.
Possibly a concern for Obama's safety.
Well, yeah, if I were him, right, I mean, there are 1,000, I read last night, there are 1,000 people assigned to keep him secure. And
well,
the way I figure it is, if the right people want you dead, you'd need a whole lot more than 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Like, that's
a
regiment. That's a regiment. Whole regiment, 1,000 men, isn't it?
I wonder how many doubles he got.
Yeah, well, that would be
exactly
a good question, too. Because all of a sudden, he sure learned to speak, didn't he? When he started out as president, he couldn't speak without a monitor.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't speak without a teleprompter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, stumbled over his words all the way along. So has he been replaced? How do we know?
When they hanged Saddam Hussein, was it really Saddam Hussein?
We don't know, but his wife's first words were, when she viewed the body, her first words were, that's not my husband.
Wow, were they?
Yeah, and then, you know, they disposed of Osama bin Laden's supposed body in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
Okay, so, we can't do DNA tests on somebody who's already been made fish food, okay? And on top of that, we know that Osama bin Laden died in 2001 in a cave somewhere because he had kidney failure.
Yeah.
He was visited by the CIA in Dubai before any of that stuff went down, and at that point in time, he was on dialysis.
So you don't see much for us in 2013, Dee?
Nothing good. I don't see anything good happening, and I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned about the Idle No More movement because I think that really that movement may be walking our First Nations populations into the same shit that we're going through, because if the government says, oh, we're going to give you citizenship now, isn't that wonderful? And what they would lose, the control that they would lose over these vast tracts of land that are left in reserves. The natives, a lot of them are greedy.
What had been done 100 years ago by where the land was being given to the churches.
Exactly.
And
then
the children were being put into residential schools to make them white
and murdered and abused.
And half of them perished in the residential schools.
Yeah. Yeah, 50% of them never came home. And then you get this interesting little ditty about how when just after Queen Elizabeth had become queen, it was in the late, I guess it was late 50s, very early 60s.
It was in the mid-50s.
Yeah, well, she was. Yeah, she was inaugurated, or she was crowned, I believe, in 1952. But the thing is, this happened later on, later in that decade. She visited a residential school in Kamloops, B.C., and there were 10 children chosen to go and have a picnic lunch with the Queen and Prince Philip. Those 10 children were never heard from again.
Yeah.
Where'd they go?
Yeah,
where'd they go?
Yeah.
You know, what happened to these kids? They were never heard from again. So where did the Queen and Prince Philip take them?
Yeah.
What was done to them? What happened? And why was it that nobody ever asked?
You ever told the people the truth over TV, what you could do, how quickly you could help enlighten people as to what's been done to them.
Well, you know, an interesting person to be telling that story would be George H.W. Bush, the first Bush, because he's quoted as saying in the early 90s, if the people knew what we have done, they'd be chasing us through the streets to lynch us. And Henry Ford, back in about 1919, said that if the people knew the truth, he said, I believe there would be a revolution before morning.
Yeah, there would be.
So this has been going on, and the common denominator, this is what blows me away totally, is that the common denominator is the ignorance of the people. And if you go back to Sun Tzu, Art of War, what he says in Art of War is, if you want to control a conquered population, what do? You control the information, you control the food, and you control the money. And we have our food control. Exactly. So, well, you can't live on just water anyway, so food covers it, right? But they are taking the water as a resource. They're turning it into liquid gold. Well, bottom line is, we have all those things controlled completely now.
Okay. We're coming down to our closing time, Dee, and we're going to need to... we've got less than a minute to keep going here. So, Werner, I'd like to thank you again for joining in and contributing along the way.
Well, as I say, you know, 5 cents worth.
There's a lot to say.
To get the word out whichever way we can. Be instant, in season, and out of season.
Yeah.
And we hope for the best for the kind
I did want to... mention too, there's going to be a Canadian-wide chemtrail awareness for February 17th of this year. If there are any people interested in contributing to that, they might talk to the people at Vancouver Sky Watch, and we're trying to get this going across Canada for February 17th. Thank you a lot, Werner. And Dee, thanks again, Dee, for helping to carry the show and keep it all going. So we'll be back in 2 weeks' time.
If we're still all here.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know about you, but I plan to be.
The Almighty One lets us.
I know Werner plans to be here. I plan to be here, so there you go.
Okay, so thank you all. Thanks from BBS Radio. This has been the Zero Point Show, January the 5th, 2013. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time. Goodbye.
And God bless Big Mouth Unite.
Goodbye, Vernon.
Goodbye, everyone.